Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
And I'm Sam Delaney. So what? This is making it sound like we could be on Radio 4. Is that what we're going for? We're hoping to get spotted by Radio 4.
Maybe we need to broaden our horizons.
Well,
the BBC is almost certainly going to be broken apart and fragmented.
It's in crisis, so. And it will take like men like you and I to save it, probably. Because Times Radio, being set up by News UK, are poaching a lot of the top BBC staff because they can offer them more money, etc., etc.
Yeah, and this is what I'm thinking.
It's one of the sort of systems that is, like, the Murdoch empire is coming for the BBC from all different angles. So the papers are slagging it off. They've got a deal with the government and they are going to take away the licence fee, and at the same time, they're poaching all their best people. Some people see that and go, oh, no, not Auntie Beeb. Oh, but I shall so miss the Bake Off if they take it away and Gardener's Question Time.
Channel 4's Bake Off.
Yeah, well, don't fucking worry, right? Because we're going to fucking save it for you.
We got a plan. Yeah. We're going in. Me and him, we're going in.
Where you people see crises, Andy and I see opportunity.
Opportunity. Exactly.
And we are willing to save Radio 4 by taking over the Today programme.
I mean, I think John Pienaar has already gone.
Pienaar's gone.
And if
jump ship.
If there's any ready-made replacement for John Pienaar out there on the media landscape, it's me. Surely.
Yeah, I think so. You've always reminded me of him, and he in turn has always reminded me of the boss, Danger Mouse's boss. He's like him, isn't he?
He fucking is, yeah. Would the Today programme or Pienaar's Politics or whatever it's called that he does or did,
he does,
would
that Channel be improved? He does Radio 5 politics, yeah.
Would that be improved if it was presented by the boss from Danger Mouse?
Fuck yeah.
Cutting to reports from Danger Mouse and Penfold out in the field.
Definitely.
Of course it would.
Yeah.
Of course it would.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've said for a long time now that instead of Question Time, on a Thursday evening, the BBC should put on an hour of Looney Tunes cartoons because it would be much more enhancing for the nation.
It would be better for the nation. The thing is, there was a time where Question Time was quite good because it was a time of less division, conflict, anger, and you know, nastiness. And it was one moment in the week where people got to get things off their chest, and it was quite entertaining and blah blah blah. And I used to like Dimbleby too. But actually, I mean, yeah, Fiona Bruce is perfectly good as well. It's not her fault that everyone who comes on it is fucking mental. Do you know what I mean? I feel bad for her. She sat there thinking, fuck me. What the fuck?
I got myself into it. I've come from fucking Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is as genteel as it gets.
Wonderful.
I'm in this
fucking
bear pit now.
Fucking Antiques Roadshow was a wonderful job. And, you know, you don't realise what you got till it's too late.
Till it's
gone. I was fucking fannying about at Antiques Fairs, right? Seeing people fucking hoping that their fucking water jug would sell for $1 million.
Outdoor in the sunshine. Fella comes along with a China elephant. Fella has a look at it. Tells him it's worth £400.
Now I'm
job done.
Stuck between a bunch of racist cunts and a bunch of fucking snowflakes, right? And I don't know who to fuck it. Who pisses me off more? Fuck it.
I mean, there was the viral clip that on social media the other day of some bigoted woman, which I pride myself on not having clicked on at all. I don't know anything she said. I just saw hundreds and thousands of people getting apoplectic about it. It's not fucking worth it, man. Do something else. Put your Looney Tunes on.
It cuts both ways, doesn't it? Because I've always said about the people who get annoyed by the so-called woke, snowflakey kind of things, right? I just think, do you know what? Don't worry yourself about it, because it's a, you know, that being there's a characterization of so-called woke people where they're all extreme, and it's like fucking everything's offensive, and every any toilet that fucking is gender specific is like offensive, or all this mad shit, right, that they like to pick up on Good Morning Britain and Piers Morgan all rant about, right? And that's fine, but it's not representative really of any significant fucking school of thought in society. Don't worry.
No.
You're not going to... I mean, obviously, these people are fucking over-the-top pricks a lot of the time, right? But you're not going to fucking encounter many of them. Their voice isn't that loud. In fact, if anything, by getting so wound up by them, you're making their voice louder. And it's both, but it works both ways, you know, because the people on the liberal side get fucking apoplectic. All I read liberal people doing online is getting enraged by things that people have said, right?
Yeah.
And I just think, if you spent more time working out a plan for the fucking future, right, and how to make life better, and how to understand people's lives, and even the opinions that you don't share, you understand where they come from, and try to find a way forward for all of us. If you spent
spent your time
and energy doing that, rather than just fucking getting really angry and starting petitions on Facebook to have some cunt sacked or whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, it's a waste of fucking time. Both sides are fucking mad. All they're engaged in is a constant fight with no one looking fucking forward. Like us. Always looking forward. Always seeing opportunities. Yeah.
Exactly.
Creating both new sides. T-shirts, thinking of new items for the show.
Both sides furious with each other constantly. And there's you, furious with both sides.
That's right.
Above it all.
I am a important voice of reason, right?
Britain's top journalist.
And I'm trying to fucking reach out to both sets of cunts and go, do you know what? Stop fucking worrying so much about what the other side are saying. And just try and think of some good ideas to bring us all together. Like you've had the Looney Tunes idea. That's a perfect example of the sort of shit people should be coming up with.
Brilliant idea, isn't it?
Yeah. Instead, people are just running around saying who's the most racist. It's boring.
Yeah, okay. Glad we got that sorted out. Did you have a pleasant weekend? I know there was a family party.
The family party went off pretty well, actually. I did my usual style that you'll remember from Christmas of going into a separate room and having a little snooze.
Removed yourself from the whole thing.
I loaded up the snacks that I required. There was a table of snacks. It was a tea party, so the food was really, it was great. Everyone brought something. Yeah. There was scones with jam. There was also cheese scones. There was a big bowl just full of bags of Walker's crisps of various flavours. You just take one.
You just
take a bag and fuck off.
The Walker's randomizer. Yeah. Oh, no, they were in the bags. They had not been thrown together. No,
exactly. They're in individual bags. Oh, that would have been better. That's what's better. No. I prefer it this way. No one else's hands has been on them. And what it meant for me, with my MO, my family party MO, where I like to go into another room and try and catch a nap, it's great because you can grab the bag or two bags if you want and then just fuck off with them, which is harder to do when you've got loose crisps in a bowl. So what else was there? There was, there was different sorts of cake mainly and a few savoury things. Anyway, I got my snacks together and I just fucked off into the other room. I watched a bit of Sky Soccer Saturday and then I sort of fell off to sleep for a little while.
So had you done a little bit of socialising first, a little bit of,
not much. I mean,
said a load. Hi, how you doing? Small talk, that sort of thing.
Said a load to me. No, that's what I was avoiding, was small talk.
None of that at all.
Not just interested.
Hello to Dad.
Not interested.
Happy birthday to Dad. Kiss on the cheek and then upstairs.
Happy birthday. I think I asked him a couple of questions about life.
And then, what's it like to be 80?
Yeah, that sort of stuff. What's the maddest thing you've seen?
As if you'd never met him before. Yeah.
What's the maddest thing you've seen in your 8 years? Yeah, but the thing is about my dad, and I'm sure it's the same with a lot of dads, is that actually sometimes you haven't bothered asking them the basics. Do you know what I mean? And you don't you don't think of that until they get quite old. And until you start thinking they might not be around much longer, then you start asking shit like this. Dad, what was the first time you saw spaghetti and what the fuck did you think when you saw it? Do you know what I mean? like shit like that. Like, it's like historical investigation. You know,
Dad, where were you when the men landed on the moon?
Yeah,
where were you watching it?
Or like you can say, what did it feel like when England didn't qualify for the 1974 World Cup? Right, that's interesting. Right,
that is, yeah.
Or you, yeah. Or like I've said to my mum loads of times, what was the not loads of times, but I've asked her a lot of times about the first time she saw particular food. So foods that we, born in the 70s, just took for granted, right, growing up in the 80s. Mm-hmm. I go to her like, what was the first time you saw Chinese food?
And egg.
Yeah. But she's like, fucking hell, yeah, I remember. And she'll name the Chinese restaurant. She's going, it was like insane. And like her mum said, do not eat that food. Do not eat Chinese food. You'll get sick. It is really bad for you. Don't eat it. And so she, the first time she had it, my dad, who was a bit more kind of, I mean, my dad was actually from a more working class family than my mum, but he was rather more, what do you call it, sort of metropolitan in his tastes. So even though he's from the state and everything, he was one of these people who was very kind of into
outward looking.
Yeah, yeah, he hung around the Soho coffee bars, didn't he, having cappuccinos and listening to jazz music. He was into all that stuff. And so when he started dating my mum, he took her out to places like, he took her for her first Italian meal and he took her for her first Chinese meal, because these places were largely like in the West End of London, but there'd be like one place, you know. Yeah. And my mum had to sort of lie to her mum, who was very old school traditionalist. Ooh. You know, it's very like, and what have you had? What, you ain't been up the Chinese, have you? That Chinese muck, no. No, we went.
You've been eating lasagna, have you?
Yeah, we went.
I can smell lasagna on your breath.
We went to a Lion's Tea House and had a bun. I swear.
I still remember the first time we had Italian food, and it was spaghetti bolognese. And I must have been about 11.
Yeah.
And it was me. It was my mum and dad's friends who cooked us for us when we went round.
Oh my
and
god!
I think they just deliberately wanted to just expand our horizons.
Really?
Because I'd just been brought up on ultra pasties. Small C conservative food.
The Dawsons are coming round. Let's try and broaden their horizons.
Egg and chips. Make some spag bol. See what they think of that. Game changer. Total game changer.
Really? Did you like it straight away?
Oh god, yeah. Oh, I loved it. Yeah. Yeah, I wanted more. Mm. Wanted the recipe.
Yeah.
Wouldn't give it to me.
Nah. So that's our family secret. I saw an amazing thing that someone posted on Twitter, and I think it was a celebrity or something. They said, "We have lived, you know, this civilization has reached this far. We've landed men on the moon, etc., etc. And yet, how is it that someone has only just invented spaghetti scissors?" And there was this big fat cunt.
Saw it,
and he was eating spaghetti and just cutting the bits off that hang down constantly. And so each mouthful becomes easier, because as the dish wears on, what you're left with is just cuttings.
The trimmings.
Trimmings. And then by the end, you can scoop it up with a spoon. And I always say the best food is food you can eat with a spoon.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So you're into that then?
I love spoon eating.
You're into the spaghetti scissors?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
I love it.
And so essentially what you're creating is the same as what Heinz tin spaghetti is.
Yeah, sort of shorter, isn't it? Yeah.
Short bits that you can manage, like, or that a child can manage.
But if you think about it, mate, spaghetti, I like spaghetti, don't get me wrong, but the length of it is completely arbitrary that they've decided it should be that long, right?
Yeah.
And it's only novelty. Anyway, it's showing off. It's showing off is what it's doing.
I think spaghetti is Italian for long dinner.
It is, yeah.
So
spag meaning long, and getty meaning dinner.
It's dinner. Yeah.
But it's like all that twirling it around on a spoon, right? Which my mum, by the way, still thinks is pretentious showing off, right?
Oh, man. So it's all part of the dance.
We went for noodles on Friday night, right? Me, my mum, and my daughter. We were in Wagamama. And we got a pad thai. And we all did. And my mum made a really big deal out of the fact that me and my daughter ate it with chopsticks. Like, she just thought we were basically being cunts.
Yeah, just showing off. Lording it over her.
Yeah. And she makes a really big deal about asking for a fork, right? It's like, mum, fuck's sake, move with the times. It's 2020. Get your fucking chopsticks.
Chopsticks are hard, though.
Yeah, they are. They are hard.
I have to have the ones that are joined at the hip.
Do you?
Now and again, I'll go for individual chopsticks, but it's not easy. It's frustrating, isn't it?
The reason I was having noodles with my mum and my daughter was we went to the theatre, the local theatre, and we saw a play.
A local production by some players.
Well, no, actually, I'm making it sound much more small-time than it was, because when I say the local theatre, it was in Richmond upon Thames.
Oh.
So it's not my own town, but it's, like, near. And so, obviously, the theatre there is quite fancy. It's not big, but it's, like... But this was actually a production of Noel Coward's Blythe Spirit, right?
Right.
And it was there just training up before it went to the West End, right?
Right.
And
training up.
They do a sort of a run at a local theatre before they hit the West End. And starring in it as the sort of clairvoyant, you know, ghost summoner, fucking Jennifer Saunders.
Wow.
Yeah.
Proper star.
So, like, we're talking like £20, right? Because it's in the local theatre. But you get to see Jennifer Saunders, and the rest of the cast were great as well. But she was obviously... It's a funny play. It's written by Noel Coward. And she was obviously fucking hilarious. And better than all of it, obviously the main reason I was there, the whole thing is about ghosts.
Well, there you go.
It's fucking... It had the lot.
So, it's just your... right up your fucking
it
street.
It was bloody brilliant. I can recommend it. Apparently there's a film coming out of the same story. I don't know who's playing the Jennifer Saunders role. But, yeah, it's a comedy play about ghosts, about a bloke, and he's married for the second time. His first wife died, right? And so he's got this other wife. And
I'll get another wife.
I'll get another fucking wife. I suppose I'll have to get another one now. This one's dead.
All dead and that.
It's like when a cat dies, isn't it? Like, you feel bad about getting another cat. I always felt guilty, because we always did, when we were kids, whenever our cat died... We go, out of respect, we shouldn't ever get another cat, because that cat, I loved it so much. And then fucking sure...
2 weeks later.
Yeah, 2 weeks later, we got a kitten! Oh, it's lovely! And you've immediately forgotten the other cat that's lived with you for like 10 years. So he gets this other wife, and then Jennifer Saunders comes around, because for a novelty, they sort of, like, she's the local eccentric who reckons she speaks to ghosts. They get her around for a dinner party, sort of entertaining the guests. She does it, and next thing you know, fucking, he can't believe it. He's been sort of taking the piss, the bloke, like, this is all a bit of a laugh. We've only got around here to laugh at her. He's a writer, and he's doing it for research because he wants to write a novel about a charlatan-like clairvoyant, right? But it backfires on the cunt, doesn't it? Because it turns out she knows her stuff, and next thing you know, his first wife's back, and he's living in the house with his... new wife and his ex-wife. One's a ghost, one fucking isn't.
Fucking hell. Sounds like a sitcom.
It's a great sitcom. It plays out like a sitcom, because it's all in one house sort of thing.
Right.
So there you go. If you're a fan of ghosts, and if you're listening to this podcast, which is basically a ghost podcast, why wouldn't you be?
It is now, yeah.
Then go and watch Blythe Spirit.
Go along and have a look.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Jalapeño.
I had a theatrical incident last night.
Well, you were performing in the theatre last night.
I was. I almost wasn't. I'm on the road again doing 3 min shows. We did Birmingham last night, Leeds tonight, Sheffield tomorrow. Both sold out. Don't try and come. And as I was driving down to Birmingham yesterday afternoon, I got stuck in a traffic jam which lasted about half an hour.
Right.
On the A1.
Yeah.
So I'm just sat in stationary traffic.
Did you need a wait? Did you need a wait at any point?
Nah, I was all right. I was fine. You know, I can cope in that sort of situation. Right. And I get a message from Bob Mortimer, my other podcast colleague.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm in a bit of shit here. And he sent me a picture of a tweet which said that the road that he was on, the M40...
Because he was coming up from the south and you were coming down from the north.
He was coming from the south, yeah. His road was closed due to a major incident.
Fuck.
And he was about an hour and 40 away from the theatre at that point.
Fuck.
And then it went on and it went on and it went on. And when the traffic cleared, it looked like he was going to get to the theatre 15 minutes before the show started.
Right.
But that wasn't even guaranteed.
No.
So.
And what happened in the end?
I had to go in there, set up all the sound cues and everything, yeah. Get everything ready for a show, which might not have happened. He turned up 3 minutes before we were due on.
Fucking hell.
And I had fucking literally shit myself.
Well, what was your plan? Did you have a plan? Did you tell the people at the venue? What did they suggest?
I spent the time just fashioning like a little glove puppet of Bob.
Yeah.
I had his bit of script that I could have read from and I could have tried to do his voice. I would have just gone out there and done it.
Would you have done it as a one-person show?
Done it myself, or I would have had to. Nah, we it was kind of all right because we knew he was going to get there, but we didn't know what time, but we would have just held it back a bit. But that we didn't know that till about 5:30.
Wow.
And we were due on at 7. It was just fucking...
nuts.
And then he didn't fucking get in touch to see he was on his way, where he was.
Just burst through the door. Did that annoy
just
you,
did
it? Just
through the door.
Were you annoyed with him?
The man's got a heart condition as well.
What, nah, so I'm not annoyed. You thought he died?
Mm.
From the stress.
I thought he might have died on stage from the stress of it all,
like
yeah.
Done a Tommy Cooper.
Yeah, exactly, or I might have.
Well, when we do Walk the Dinosaur, I often feel like one of us is going to die. I often
that's
feel like I
it?
Could die towards
we're
the
end.
We're
not doing that again.
No, we've got... I keep hearing other songs and thinking that'll be our next one, and meaning text you, and then I just forget about them again. But I quite like the idea of a ballad, to be honest. Something.
I've just thought of one. I don't know whether to say it on the podcast or not. Or
say it and then
on.
Get some reaction from the cunters, because we won't be doing it until the autumn anyway.
Kenny Rogers, Dolly Parton, Islands in the Stream.
Perfect. I would love to do that with you.
Islands in the Stream.
That is what we are.
Na, na, no na, one in between.
How da, can we go da, wrong? Sail away with
and
me
we,
to
and
another
we
place.
We rely on each other.
Uh-huh. From one do, moment to another. We do, emotionally, mentally, and in ways I'm not prepared to go into. Also physically.
Yeah.
Let's just say we have a physical reliance on each other, which is a system that we've got. That we are both consenting. We're both consenting part of,
with.
Right? But
it's ever evolving, isn't it?
Let's just say there is a physical dynamic that exists, which now our lives depend on.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
We're forever entwined, aren't we?
Yeah. So,
like a marriage, but not.
So Leeds tonight, eh? You're in Birmingham now, and you're heading off to Leeds after this.
Leeds tonight. Apparently there's like snow and shit out there, so I don't know how long it'll take to get there, but I'll have a go. Try and get there 5 hours
we
beforehand.
We did a great show in Leeds, didn't we? It was one of our best ever, that.
We did a fantastic
great crowd
show
in Leeds. Great
yeah.
crowd.
But then it was topped by Nottingham the night after.
I wasn't going to say that because I felt bad on the Leeds people because I didn't think it could be topped and then Nottingham topped it.
Nah, fuck it. They need to know and they try harder next time.
Good. All right. Well, look forward to hearing your report on that tomorrow on tonight's show in Leeds. And what hotel are you staying at in Leeds tonight? Oh, you probably don't want to say.
Oh, I'm not going to tell you that.
But,
of course not.
But the rig you had, you're not particularly happy with the rig you stayed in Birmingham last night. I can see a bit of it behind you. I'm not impressed by the art on the wall.
No, I'm in the Holiday Inn. It's very near the venue. I just went on wheresmynearestrig.com.
Mm.
And put in the theatre and then chose this place. It's one of the ones that needs a little bit of a spruce up, let's just say that. It's a little bit weathered.
The thing is, the bar's been, as we have found with our adventures in hotels, mid to low price hotels around the country, travelling businessmen hotels, right? Which is where we say, the bar has been raised so much. And you can't afford, if you're Sir John Holiday Inn listening to this, you cannot afford to have worn hotels, because gone are the days where you were considered the go-to for someone seeking a decent but moderately priced, reasonably priced travelling salesman hotel. Because not only have Premier Inn absolutely fucking smashed it with the soft purple lighting.
Premier Inn is snapping at the heels of Sir John Holiday Inn.
Sir John Premier Inn has got everything right. They've invested in these places. They got Lenny Henry doing the ads. Was that him or not? I don't know.
That was him. That was him. Yeah. Yeah.
They are premiering. They had Lenny Henry, and they have the best mattresses. In fact, I believe you've bought a premiering mattress.
No.
I thought you.
I bought some pillows. I bought some premiering.
You did
pillows.
Investigate the mattress, though, didn't you? Didn't you?
I did look yeah. into. The, you can. You so can buy. The
I've seen other people
know.
On Twitter, celebrities, but I'm not sure if they've been paid to say it. Going, oh, I'm buying. Oh, a, right, I'm yeah. buying a fucking premiering mattress. Like, they have incredible mattresses. And by the way, listeners, we haven't been paid. This is genuinely what we feel. And
this is reportage.
The masterstroke is the soft purple lighting, because they've got this soft purple lighting that radiates from unusual parts of the room. And even if the rest of the room was totally shit, it kind of makes it feel sophisticated. So they've done a good job. And then you've got the Yotel that I stayed in Edinburgh, fucking 50 quid or something, absolute knockout. Felt like I was in a Stanley Kubrick film, right? We got the fucking Zip. What was that? Premier Inn Zip, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Cardiff, wasn't it?
Cardiff.
You were in that, yeah.
30 quid or something that was. It was fucking unbelievable. Okay. So what we're saying is, up your fucking game, right?
Because even the Travel Lodge, you've got to be careful what you do with the Travel. If you get one of the new ones, one of the refurbished
really good.
Ones, they're fucking great as well. Yeah. So I ended up last night after the show, sat in my room with a pint that I bought in the bar and brought in my room.
Oh,
and
lovely.
A bowl of nuts that I was given, complimentary nuts. And
free.
I sat and I watched, yeah.
Hang on, now so there are more ticks, because you won't get free nuts in a Premier Inn.
You won't, that's true. I said, have you got any
free nuts.
Crisps or nuts?
You got any free nuts?
Free. Yeah, what have you got that's free? I'm happy to buy the pint. No problem there. What I'm saying is, have you got anything you can give me
like,
on the side?
Crackers.
Nuts, olives.
Crackers. Some people have little plastic sachets with two crackers in. You got any of them?
No. Do you have one of them little kits you give to the kiddies with a colouring in page and some jelly tots? I'll have one of them if you've got them. Not a fuss.
Anything. Literally anything you've got going, I'll have it.
So I got some free nuts and I was sat in my room on my bed with a pint watching the Tyson Fury fight online.
Oh, you stayed up and watched it live?
No, this was the night after.
Oh, yeah. I watched it first thing when I woke up in the morning. I managed to get it on YouTube.
Hell.
And watched it in bed. And it was
he did
fucking
a job on him,
amazing.
Didn't he?
He beat him up,
hell.
Mate.
He did.
But the thing is, we should have had money on it. Because I don't know if you did. I meant to, and then for some reason I didn't, right? Because someone had said to me, the best money is on him knocking him out, stopping him, because no one expects him to win like that. They think if he wins, he'll win it on points, right? But Tyson Fury himself had said, and it was obvious, he goes, I fought you, right, when I had not trained, I was underweight, right? I was, he said my shoulders were like fucking coat hangers. My mental state was still not the best. He went, I was weak, right? He goes, I was the weakest I've almost ever been. And I outfought you across the 12 rounds. And even when you knocked me down, one of the best punches you've ever thrown, I still fucking got up and finished the fight on top, right?
Yeah.
So how do you think you can possibly beat me when I have been training, right, with a new, more professional coach, right, and I'm fitter than I've ever been? And then you think, yeah, actually, it's almost defies all logic that Wilder could beat him. I know it's easy to say this in hindsight, but he just absolutely beat him up.
He totally called it. It was like the kind of a beating you would see behind a nightclub. He smashed his fucking ear in.
Yeah, smashed his ear. A fucking smash you in the ear. Like, what's his name? Sykes does to the shark, punch him in the fucking ear roll. You
That's
won't hear
right,
from
yeah.
him again.
That was probably his training, inspiration for
Tyson
it, wasn't
Fury.
It? The Paul Sykes documentary.
Tyson Fury is like a national treasure now, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because and also, when quite a few years ago, when he, I think when he beat Klitschko, and then he was supposed to be nominated for Sports Personality of the Year, which, as we know, is an absurd fucking thing anyway,
yeah,
right?
Travesty.
But
yeah.
There was a lot of campaigning against him because he'd said some things that were deemed to be homophobic, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, we started the podcast over me going, oh God, everyone gets so offended by everything. And I was one of those cunts because I didn't know enough about him at the time. And I had this, you know, I kind of was aware of him, but I just thought he was an idiot, like thug.
Mm-hmm.
And it was completely prejudiced because it was partly what he looked like, right? And then and then I hear these homophobic things. I think, oh, yeah, that sounds about right. And when we were doing the much-lamented satirical news show Sam Delaney's news thing. I remember I did a monologue, right, where I kind of, it was because that was a big story that week. Should he be Sports Personality of the Year or should he be disqualified for his opinions? And I was sort of going, he shouldn't. You know, I can't remember what I said, but I remember criticising him, right? Mm. And I look back, and since then, I've read his book, I've learned a lot more about him, I've watched more of his fights, and realised loads of things. First of all, he's by no means a thug boxer. He's a fucking artist, right? I mean, yeah. Twice the boxer Wilder is, and probably three times Anthony Joshua as well, right? He, yeah. But because of the way he looks, because he kind of isn't even, his physique isn't that of a, like, a trained athlete, because he's presumably just genetically different, because he's certainly fucking fit, kind of wrote him off, right? And that was my prejudice. But the other thing about him is, yeah, he did say regrettable things, but you've got to put them in the context of his background, right? He left school when he was 10, right? Because he's from the traveller community, and that's normal in the traveller community to leave school that young, right? Even though he's quite a bright kid. He went to hell and back, right? He tried to commit suicide and failed, and then he came all the way back, right, to be world champion, right? And he overcame all of those demons. But he's devoted all of his time outside of the ring to campaigning for mental health, to help people who hit the same rock bottom as him. And not only that, and now he's a model to all of us, right? You think, well, however low you've been, look what you can achieve, right? And then on top of that, he gave his purse from one of his previous fights, right? The whole thing, he fucking handed to a homeless charity. Not a bit of it, mate. Did he? Every penny. I think it might have even been his last fight. Yeah, because it's not exactly something that has been hugely publicised. But his other main thing is the homeless. He's obsessed with the homeless, right? And he's just fucking thrown... He won all... however much they get. I mean, they get 10 million quid or something for a fight, don't they, these days? Just gave the lot. Didn't fuck about and say, here's some of it. There you go, cunts. Have the fucking lot.
Get yourself some nice coats.
So I think whatever he said or did in the past, I think we should always celebrate redemption almost above everything else.
It's got to be redemption, yeah.
There's always, and you got to celebrate redemption, because if not, what hope are you giving to anyone out there, right? And especially people who harbour opinions that you don't agree with, right? You've got to encourage them to reform. And if you see people who have done so, that's great. And I think the cunt's a fucking national treasure now, isn't it?
Pretty much. If he can keep a lid on the homophobic stuff, then he's sorted, isn't he?
He's up there with Mary Berry, isn't he?
I've just looked it up, yeah. He donated 7 million quid from the last Deontay Wilder fight charity.
Yeah, there you go. 7 million quid.
So he gave it to UK charities to build homes for alcohol and drug addicts. Fucking hell.
And the other thing he does is he loves to sing, doesn't he? So he sung American Pie. And at the last fight, I think it was when he beat Klitschko, when he first got there, he sung that Aerosmith song to his wife in the ring. Don't want to go to sleep. Don't want to close my eyes because I miss you, baby. And I don't want to miss a thing. And she just stood there and loved it. She didn't even get embarrassed. My wife would fucking knock me out if I started doing that in public.
But yeah, it was an incredible fight. I just could not believe what I was seeing. He did. He duffed him up.
He duffed him up.
That's probably the best word for
That's exactly it, yeah.
Duffed him right up.
Yeah, and now you just can't wait. Now everyone's sort of... The nation's caught the fucking bug again for heavyweight boxing. And now there might be another fight between them, which I'm less interested in, to be honest, because I think
it's done, isn't it?
It's done, and Fury was so superior to him. You sort of think, barring like Fury just going mad and not training properly, it'll just be the same all over again. What the world wants to see now is Fury versus Anthony Joshua.
Yeah, well, I don't know if Anthony Joshua wants to see that.
No, well, I think
he will, after what happened the other night.
He will for the money, but the thing is...
That could be the end of him.
I think it would be, yeah. The thing is, as long as you are champion and you hold this belt, then all of the other money comes in. Like, you know, Anthony Joshua in particular, he's the darling of the media, isn't he? Because he's so handsome and he's got a nice personality and stuff. So Sky love him. And he keeps getting all these commercial endorsement deals and stuff like that. As soon as he gets in a ring with Fury and Fury beats him up, which he probably will, that's it then. It's all gone, isn't it? Because you're just like, yeah, suddenly you're not it. This pride and joy golden boy anymore. You're like, oh, he's that guy who briefly was champion, but then turned out to be not as good as we thought.
And you probably get Fury walking away after that as well, because to be fair, there's not a lot out there in the heavyweight division.
No, apparently
division
there's
the
a...
They're making a lot... They're making a little go quite a long way at the minute.
There's, no, there's a three. Young lad from South London, and I can't remember his name, but he is... he's supposed to be better than all of them, according... I mean, right. This was just told to me by someone in the know. I'm just going to try and find his name. And... This was Cass Pennant told me, because he's very plugged into right. the boxing world, and his good mates, his best mate is Frank Bruno, and he said that Bruno rates him as like the champion waiting, and they're holding him back because the way that promoters work is at the moment it suits them to have these three high profile heavyweights all fighting it out.
They're playing out a plot, aren't they?
Exactly. Don't introduce the new boy until it's time. So, like you say, once he's knocked them out, once he's... Oh, that's it. Daniel Dubois.
Right.
Daniel Du Bois, whatever you want to call it. He's young. He was only born in 97. And he's British Commonwealth, WBC Silver and WBO International Heavyweight titles. Known for his punching power... And holds a 92.9% knockout to win ratio. Anyway, apparently he's the guy, and he'll be held back until Fury's done Wilder again, maybe. Then he's dealt with Joshua, and then this guy will enter the whole equation.
Good.
And he'll be the next one. So it's exciting.
Start putting money on him now, then. Right, that's it, Sam. I'll quickly just
We've done boxing this week. We've done a lot of boxing this week. We've done a boxing spin off thing. Yeah.
It's like talk sport.
Now, should we do a quirky story about a cricket team who've adopted a family of ducks next? On a bad
why not,
on a bad crackly phone line.
Yeah. Quickly, predictions. I got 5, you got 4, ResultsBot got 8.
Can't.
ResultsBot predicted Wigan 1, Millwall 0.
Fuck. So even though he predicted his own team losing, the cunt.
I couldn't do anything else. He's programmed,
didn't
he?
No, I know, but 6 points still, for it. Fucking hell, he's benefited from that. So where does that leave the table, then?
That means I'm on 128, you're on 121. ResultsBot is creeping up on 108.
Got to
keep an eye on him.
Yeah. Good. Never take an eye off the cunt. And of course,
Liverpool-West Ham is tonight. We've both said 2-0 Liverpool. ResultsBot says 1-0 Liverpool. So he could get even closer tonight. Who knows?
I hope he's right. I'll be celebrating a 1-0 defeat like we'd won the league, mate.
Right, that's it. We'll be back tomorrow with Mailbag.
Yeah. Until then.
Thanks everyone for listening.
Cunty lads and lasses. Bye.
Fuck off.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.